Greetings, one and all. First off, let me say thank you. Thank you for all the brilliant comments that get posted all of the time. I don't just say that, I'm not blowing smoke. It's great to be connected and to read all the thoughts and insights. It really is why we do what we do on here. It's to be part of something. It's not supposed to be one-way traffic, not all the time. Do subscribe to the channel. Click on the buttons. In fact, subscribe to me everywhere you can find me. Everywhere. Take a look at my website. If you want to support my work here, subscribe to my patreon.com site. That's the Mac Daddy of support. It's easy to do. Follow the link below. Part with a bit of cash. It's about the price of one cup of coffee every month. It's cheaper than that, actually, if you sign up for a year in advance. But whatever. Sign up. Come and join us. As a member of the family, you'll get early access to all my content, and you get exclusive access to some, particularly a question and answer session every week. Okay, now it's time for this week's monologue. Well, it's a big day. Big day for the United States of America, which by extension means a big day for pretty much everybody else on planet Earth because of the ripple effect. You know, as I'm watching things this afternoon, outgoing sleepy Joe Biden has pardoned Anthony Fauci. I don't think that's a surprise to anyone, but because it was an inevitability about it. But anyway, that's the tone of the madness of the outgoing administration. It's the 20th of January here in the UK, 2025. So it's inauguration day for Mr. Donald Trump coming in as the 47th president of the United States. And it got me thinking about that. And I thought, you know, the trailer is often better than the movie. You know, all the best bits of the action, the set piece stunts, you know, accompanied by exciting music and a powerful voiceover promising you've never seen anything like this before. You know, nothing less than the best movie ever. You know, hype is hard to live up to, is what I'm saying. And we know this. But in the context of the 20th of January, 2025, millions of Americans and millions more people around the world are on the edge of their seats for President Trump 2, the return of the king, perhaps. Wait and see is, or at least should be, the only mantra worth repeating, worth listening to. And those three words, wait and see, are, anyway, all that could meaningfully be said before today. Before today, that is. For today is D-Day. D for Donald. D for Donald Trump. As I said, I'm recording this on the 20th of January, and I'm recording this in the UK, which is some hours ahead of the United States of America. As I speak, the inauguration of the 47th President of the United States of America is still in the future, or it is for me, sitting here right now. Although by the time most of you see this, in all likelihood, it will have happened. These right now are the closing moments, then, of what you might call Schrödinger's presidency. Like the cat in the box with the vial of poison on a timer, so that cat must be accepted as both alive and dead. So Trump's second term is both at the same time everything those hopeful millions are waiting for, and also not. Until the box is opened, no one can know either way. We can only wait and see. Wait and see. But it's certainly been one heck of a trailer. One promising a presidency unlike any presidency that anyone alive has ever seen. It's undeniably an interesting cast of co-stars as well, to put it mildly. What a heady mix of characters, you might say. Robert Kennedy Jr., Tulsi Gabbard, Elon Musk, Mike Huckabee, Pete Hegseth, Marco Rubio, J.D. Vance. Oil and water, you might say. Or yin and yang, for those less cynical. To continue the movie analogy, just as franchises like The Expendables and The Avengers feature, you know, brightly clad superheroes and also uber villains of the darkest sort. So Team Trump is, well, certainly a mixed bag. Let's see how they work together. Anything could happen in the next 5 minutes, as we say, or the next 5 days, or the next 5 months. Wait and see. Wait and see. After all, when it comes to blockbusters, no villains, no necessary evil, no twists. Where's the jeopardy in that? And without jeopardy, where's the pleasure in the prospect of the longed-for happy ending? As well as requiring wait and see, the trailer has made plain it looks like a main feature worth watching, worth the ticket price. Above all, I suppose, you know, the promise is to make America great again. The stuff not of megastars, but magastars. I apologise unreservedly, bad pun. Half the population of America has been on the edge of its seats since Trump won the election back in November last year. Never, you might say, have so many people been so desperate for the solutions promised by so few. The solution to uncontrolled immigration. The solution to the tailspin economy. The solution to the stumbling dollar. The solutions to war in Ukraine, war in the Middle East. The solution to the latest bogeyman being Iran. The solution to big pharma, to big agriculture, to toxic food, to the rise of the surveillance state, to the unholy union of government and organised crime that's been festering since the end of World War II. To corruption in every walk of life. Some want world peace and have been promised it. Others would settle for the Diddy tapes in the Epstein client list. The complete list of needs and desperate wants tucked in the back pocket of the Legion of the Hopeful is almost endless. And Trump has promised to fix it all. And quickly. And so, we must give him and his team a chance. We can only wait and see. Wait and see. Speaking personally, I'd like to see the lethally dangerous mRNA gene therapy platform pulled off the market as close to day one, which is today, as is humanly possible. I'd like to see the US military-industrial complex derailed from its decades-long pursuit of invasion and regime change and coups and general bullying in its endless pursuit of profit and power. I'd like more scrutiny, to put it mildly, of tools like Pegasus, which is artificial intelligence that finds people it doesn't like and offers them up for destruction by drones at the press of a button. Click yes. Civilian deaths alongside. Collateral damage, be damned. Or a tool like Palantir that collects and knows more about US citizens and goodness knows who else than those people know about themselves. I'd like to see freedom, not just of speech, but freedom from surveillance, freedom from digital imprisonment. I'd like to see America dictate its own policies rather than having Israel do that job for it. In the last few hours, Trump was on his feet, guaranteeing solutions, repeating promises, promising to flush away mountains of lunatic legislation left behind by Biden. I've just mentioned the pardon for Anthony Fauci. I don't know if there is anything you can do about that. Promising to replace DEI. That's, what is that? That's diversity, equality and inclusion. He's promising to replace that with advancement based on merit, which is surely the way it ought to be. Promising the release of the hitherto suppressed documents relating to what really happened to John F. Kennedy, to Robert F. Kennedy Sr., to Martin Luther King Jr. That's all been tucked away out of sight of the general population. Trump's promised to bring it all out into the daylight. Wait and see. He's literally promised the best first day, the best first week, the best first 100 days of any US presidency in history. That's bold. My own Schrodinger box contains both wow and woe. woe unutterable, side by side at the moment. I'm more than ready to be impressed, but like everyone else of sane mind, I say wait and see, wait and see. The promises, if fulfilled, would be, will be, welcome, long overdue. I do wonder, though, what can be done about the stuff, and it's a lot, that on the surface is a bit too dull for inclusion in a trailer for a blockbuster movie. You know, not to be a buzzkill, but the whole world is bankrupt. Bankrupt without being declared so. But not being known or not being said doesn't stop the truth being true. The world's bankrupt. So what they do, what the people with their hands on the levers of power do about money, just to use a shorthand, money, control of its creation, control of its supply, underlies everything. Like bedrock underlies everything we build and walk upon. And the sooner we confront what they have in mind for money, and be in no doubt they have in mind something profound, the sooner we know that, the better. All the decades of fiat currencies, fractional reserve banking, quantitative easing, see what I mean about boring sounding stuff? But all the decades of all of that mischief have inflated a bubble of debt so unimaginably vast, planet-sized indeed, that governments and the bankers that control the governments simply pretend the bubble isn't there. And they get away with it because economics is no one's favourite subject for a feel-good movie. Any distraction from boring old arithmetic will do. So, give them war, give them race baiting, give them climate crisis. Talk of the other D word, the one being Donald, but talk of the other D word, which is debt, is simply not what anyone wants to hear, but it's what lies beneath, finally beneath, and explains the madness of Agenda 2030 and most recently, here, the Climate and Nature Bill. Unless and until I hear different, I will believe the solution the billionaires and trillionaires have for the money problem, which is a problem of their making. Unless I hear different, I'll believe the solution, ultimately, one way or another, is our immiseration, our forced dependency, the digital cage. We'll have to wait and see on all fronts, on all of that as well. But anyone that genuinely has the solution to the money problem, getting our species out from under trillions, actually quadrillions of dollars and pounds and euros and yuans of debt, well, that would certainly attract my attention. And with so many billionaires on the team, the incoming team, it'll be especially interesting to see how they fix, what should we call it, the money problem, when simultaneously holding on to their own money is so much their priority. You have to admire the chutzpah of those ready to stand up and be counted in such times. To torture the movie analogy a bit more, when it comes to the money problem, it's like the movies where the planet-crushing asteroid is glowing big and bright in the sky and all that stands between it and extinction here on Earth is a doughty band of lovable rogues. I don't care who's in the White House or Downing Street or the Kremlin, for that matter. The predicament we're all in is the one made of money, the irreparably corrupted state of what passes for money. And because of that, out there the digital cage is looming. It's made of round-the-clock, round-the-world surveillance, digital IDs and central bank digital currencies. One way or another, it's sold and will be sold as the solution to everything. The control of immigration, the control of crime, the removal of the dread threat of rape gangs and their ilk, control of the economy. But for the likes of you and me, it's a cage. It's about being prepared to live in a cage, nothing more and nothing less. The twist no one is ready for is the return not of the king, but of feudalism. Too few people are facing up to the inevitability of it. And those promising the earth on the way to office are not talking about it. And there's a reason they're not talking about it. Some would say we're on a runaway train. It's another movie staple. But that this time no one can stop it. Not even if they want to. Not to put too fine a point on it, there's a crash coming. The buffers. The abyss. Wait and see. Wait and see. It's literally all any of us can do at the moment. But no one out there even bothers to talk down the coming of central bank digital currencies. Nobody's saying it's not going to happen. That's because it is going to happen. Talk of digital IDs is never far away either. It never goes away. And that's because the solution depends on it. The Great Reset. It's not sexy, but it's real and unavoidable whether anyone wants to talk about it or not. And, you know, I see no happy ending for the likes of you and me on that one. I tell you that. There's plenty of people out there that would anyway like to see not a blockbuster, but a monumental flop. I mean, just a spite to some extent. But there's also plenty of people that don't care whether Trump can fix anything or not. They just dread the consequences for themselves of the process. The consequences of any bright light being shone on anything anywhere because it's been in the shadows, neck deep in all that corruption, that they have made their own millions. So they don't want any attention paid to that. I've said over and over that the challenges are too real, too huge, too all-encompassing for any one person or any one team of would-be Avengers to fix. And I won't blame them if they can. That's the honest truth. I've said over and over that in the end, after the train crash, after the asteroid hits, we'll have to fix it for ourselves. It's the only way. But wait and see. I, for one, can't wait to see what happens next.